The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. It's Memorial Day today in the United States, and here in the UK, it's a bank holiday Monday as well, so lots of people with the day off, but not us. We've got just enough in the office today to put together a live program for you, a special program at that. So much news, really, at the end of last week, quite a few big headlines, and I was away for a couple of days in Jerusalem, so wanted to get back into the studio as soon as possible to just update you on some of these big developments. The first one, Friday, the big announcement coming from Theresa May here in the UK. She's announced that she's going to be stepping down. We, as it happens, by the way, we ran into Melanie Phillips while in Jerusalem. Brad McDonald was there with me. And just hearing her talk about the broken British political system, it was quite moving coming from her, of course. She's a British citizen. She spends a good part of her time in Jerusalem as well. But she lamented the fact that she said it was like a deep state here in the UK, similar to the way that they're trying to undermine the Trump administration in the United States. Here they won't respect the will of the people. Theresa May never really had her heart in Brexit. And so she tried and she tried and she tried to come up with some kind of compromise. And every time it was a spectacular failure in Parliament. So it led to this. She announces her resignation, or it's effective on June 7th, and of course there was quite a lot of coverage on just how emotional she got at the end of her statement. Here's what she said, clip one.
Our politics may be under strain, but there is so much that is good about this country. So much to be proud of. So much to be optimistic about. I will shortly leave the job that it has been the honour of my life to hold. The second female Prime Minister, but certainly not the last. I do so with no ill will, but with enormous and enduring gratitude to have had the opportunity to serve the country I love.
And of course, the way she ended there, that captured quite a few headlines itself. But this comes after her fourth attempt to push through some kind of exit deal from the EU. It's been so difficult to just try to get out. And the people of Britain, of course, they know enough. They know enough about all of the EU regulations and losing some of the freedoms that they've enjoyed for so long and taken for granted in some cases. But you think of the statement from Mr. Armstrong. We've referred to it so often over the years. Way back in 1973 when he said that Britain's going to look back on joining the EU as a most tragically historic date, a date fraught with ominous potentialities, he said. And that certainly is, that's proven to be true for sure. And now that they won out, they're finding out just how difficult it is to honor the will of the people. It's interesting. She's stepping down on June 7th, and President Trump's going to be here on June 5th to commemorate the 75th anniversary of the Normandy landings. He'll be here in the UK on the 5th. I think he'll be somewhere in France, perhaps Normandy on the 6th. And then she steps down. Theresa May steps down on June 7th. He said on Friday, the president did, that he felt bad for her. He likes Theresa May very much. He said that she's a good woman. She's a hard worker. She's a strong woman. And so here he is on his way in just a couple of weeks. I guess that's the end of, the end of next week when he'll be here. And all this is happening Friday, her announcement, the president's remarks. This is happening when he just announces that he's going to be declassifying everything on this attempted coup, this Russian collusion investigation, how it all got started. He released a memo on Thursday, one that authorized Attorney General William Barr to declassify all documents related to the Russia investigation, or to declassify them as the Attorney General sees fit. So he's going to be sifting through the documents, and he now has the authority, Attorney General Barr, to declassify these many documents that so many people have been calling for the president to declassify, and finally it's here. It's interesting, as part of the exchange, as the president often does, he's leaving the White House, heading for the helicopter, and he stops, he pauses to talk to this pool of reporters every time, and he just stays there, answering a lot of their questions. He's so accessible. Every day, a lot of times every day. One of the reporters asked him about the UK involvement in this Russian investigation. Well, what about the UK? When you go there next week, are you going to ask Theresa May about that? And here's what he said, clip two.
Yeah, there's word and rumor that the FBI and others were involved, CIA were involved with the UK having to do with the Russian hoax. And I may very well talk to her about that, yes.
He may very well talk to her. There's a lot of nervous intelligence agents at the highest levels, not just in America. In Britain, Australia, Italy, the truth is finally getting out. The Obama administration had a lot of help abroad to try to bring down this president, to try to destroy him before he even was inaugurated. I've been skimming through this book by George Papadopoulos, the one that supposedly triggered this investigation, and all these shady characters that he met in the intel community, the Western intelligence community, following his appointment as a foreign policy advisor to the Trump administration, or to the Trump team at the time, March of 2016. And all these people he was meeting abroad in London and Italy and elsewhere, they all had one thing in common. They absolutely hated and despised Donald Trump. They hated Donald Trump with a passion. Now it's finally being exposed. Here's the president on Friday announcing that he's going to declassify everything. Clip three.
So we want to be very transparent. So as you know, I declassified everything, everything they want. I put it under the auspices of the Attorney General. He's going to be in charge of it. He's a great gentleman and a highly respected man. So everything that they need is declassified, and they'll be able to see how this hoax or witch hunt started and why it started. It was an attempted coup or an attempted takedown of the President of the United States. It should never, ever happen to anybody else. So it's very important. Now, people have been asking me to declassify for a long period of time. I've decided to do it, and you're going to learn a lot. I hope it's going to be nice, but perhaps it won't be.
An attempted coup, he said, trying to take down a duly elected president of the United States. This is, in truth, the worst, the most vile and evil political scandal in American history. And, of course, the people who are now being exposed, they're out there crying foul. Democrats and, of course, all their allies in the media. Think of it. These same people who want everything in the Mueller report fully revealed, including the redacted portions from grand jury testimonies, every little detail. It's got to be exposed. We have to have transparency. These same people who were endlessly justifying the many, many leaks whether as Democrats or their allies in the media. We've got to get the leaks out there. Jim Comey, he was bragging about leaking to the New York Times. It's because of transparency, don't you know? It's because we've got to get the truth out there. Well, the truth is that there was no collusion. And now that the other side of the story is being told, now that we're about to learn about how this investigation, when there was no collusion, how did it get started then? Well, now these same people, these perpetrators of this worst political scandal in U.S. history, they're saying that, well, these documents, they shouldn't be declassified. We've got to protect the intel agencies. We've got to protect their reputations. It's crazy. Now they want something altogether opaque, not transparent. They don't want the details of this investigation being revealed because it reveals the coup attempt. And the media, they were complicit in this. They weren't just there innocently reporting the news. They're co-conspirators. They were the ones receiving the leaks. They know where the leaks came from. Part of the plot. This is where the collusion happened. Collusion between the Democrats and the media. And in fact, collusion with the Russians. The infamous dossier. And all those Russian sources. And it was all meant to bring down the Trump presidency. Aaron Klein had a piece at Breitbart. This is from the end of last week. Saying this, former Vice President Joe Biden was reportedly one of the few Obama administration officials who participated in secretive meetings during the early stages of the Obama-era intelligence community's initial operations regarding suspected Russian interference in the 2016 presidential campaign. It says this tidbit was contained deep inside a 7,700-plus-word Washington Post article published June 23rd, 2017. So it takes Breitbart, of course, to go back to some of these long pieces about what the intelligence community was up to. They revealed themselves, remember? All the wiretapping and the spying and the secret investigations. You can see it in the New York Times and the Washington Post. At the tail end of 2016, and then in those months of 2017, this one, case in point, June 23rd, 2017, and they were producing it. They were revealing the facts, some of them, maybe not every single one of them, but when they all thought that Donald Trump would be destroyed by this coup attempt, they were out there proudly reporting on the fact that, well, yes, we did get FISA. We did get FISA warrants. Yes, we did spy. Yes, we did wiretap. Yes, we did have informants. Now that we know there's no collusion, well, you begin to piece all of this together, and that's what the Attorney General's now doing. Some of it you can piece together from media reports. And now some of it is being declassified. Breitbart says that tidbit was contained deep inside a 7,700-plus-word Washington Post article published June 23, 2017, in which the newspaper also detailed the highly compartmentalized nature of the original Russia interference investigation and the manner in which other U.S. intelligence agencies were deliberately kept in the dark. This was handled, in other words, at the highest level of the White House and the DOJ and the FBI. And the lower level officials, they were kept in the dark. And with respect to the FBI, this was very much unorthodox. This was not ordinary. Remember William Barr from a couple of weeks ago, his testimony, when he talked about how that this Russia investigation was handled at a very senior level of these departments. He said, Attorney General Barr said it wasn't handled in the ordinary way that investigations or counterintelligence activities are conducted. They're usually farmed out into the field. Field offices, field agencies, where you can strip away, or at least it's easier to strip away, political bias. As it was with this case, and the same is true with the Hillary investigation. All of this was handled in Washington, D.C. Handled by James Comey. Handled by Brennan, Clapper, and all of those players. All of those, that same cast of characters. Listen to this piece from Breitbart. It says, the lengthy Washington Post article from 2017 detailed the closed circle of Obama administration officials who were involved in overseeing the initial efforts related to the Russia investigation, a circle that narrowly widened to include Joe Biden. He was the vice president, as you know. It says, according to the newspaper, in the summer of 2016, CIA Director John Brennan convened a secret task force at CIA headquarters composed of several dozen analysts and officers from the CIA, the NSA, and the FBI. So this was in motion in the summer of 2016, and it was highly secretive, limited to just a few top officials. Now, you remember what Barack Obama said on October 18th, 2016. This was a few weeks just before the election when he said no serious person out there would suggest that you could even rig America's elections. They weren't concerned about it. Not out in the open. They didn't voice any kind of concern until after Donald Trump won. But the spying, it was going on in the summer. In fact, it was going on earlier, and that'll come out too. But let's just go with this Washington Post article. In the summer of 2016, you have Brennan convening this secret task force. And what were they worried about? Was it Russia? Was it Russian meddling? Well, if you believe what Obama said a few months later, no serious person could suggest that they would ever be able to rig an election. Obama said there's no evidence that that has happened in the past, or that there are instances that that could happen this time. And yet you had this secret investigation, this secret task force. They weren't worried about Russia, in truth, because they thought Hillary would win. But just in case, remember, Peter Strzok said it, the insurance policy, just in case something unforeseen happened, they had to go after Donald Trump. And so this secret task force was tasked with the responsibility of getting dirt on Donald Trump, preventing him from winning, just making sure he didn't win. And then if he did, well, we've got to take him down after the fact. Breitbart says the Post described the unit as so secretive, it functioned as a sealed compartment hidden even from the rest of the U.S. intelligence community. Now, keep this in mind. This is Breitbart, yes. And those on the left would dismiss it automatically because it's Breitbart. But this is Breitbart. This is a journalist just doing a little bit of legwork, which is refreshing to see. He's going back to a 2017 Washington Post article. 7,700 words. And buried deep within it, lots of revealing details. A sealed compartment hidden even from the rest of the U.S. intel community. A unit whose workers were all made to sign additional non-disclosure forms. They worked, this is quoting from the Washington Post now. It says, they worked exclusively for two groups of customers, officials said. The first was Obama and fewer than 14 senior officials in government. The second was a team of operations specialists at the CIA, NSA, and FBI who took direction from the task force on where to aim their subsequent efforts to collect more intelligence on Russia. Keep in mind what Attorney General Barr said a couple weeks ago. What was very unusual about this, he testified, was that it was it was conducted by the very senior levels of these agencies. And here's the Washington Post giving some details on how this went down. Breitbart says the number of Obama administration officials who were allowed access to the Russia intelligence was also highly limited, the Post reported. At first, only four senior officials were involved, and not Biden. Those officials were CIA Director John Brennan, Director of National Intelligence James Clapper, Attorney General Loretta Lynch, and then FBI Director James Comey. Their aides were all barred from attending the initial meetings, the Post stated. So this was the top tier. This was handled by a select group. All these individuals appointed by Barack Obama. And then as they got a little ways into it, it says here, the circle of those who attended the secretive meetings on the matter soon widened to include Joe Biden. This is according to the Washington Post. And they were meeting, where were they meeting? At the White House. Barack Obama, Joe Biden, John Brennan, James Clapper, Loretta Lynch, and James Comey. This quote's from the Washington Post. This story from 2 years ago. 2 years ago. Just after the Mueller investigation was off and running, oh, and they thought, sure, this would bring down Donald Trump. They knew he was a Russian agent. They knew he was guilty before the investigation even started. And so they were revealing themselves. They were revealing how this operation went down. The Post, this is quoting the Post now, not Breitbart. The Washington Post from 2 years ago says the secrecy extended into the White House. Rice and White House Homeland Security Advisor Lisa Monaco convened meetings in the Situation Room to weigh the mounting evidence of Russian interference and generate options of how to respond. At first, to quote the Post again, at first only four senior security officials were allowed to attend. Brennan, Clapper, Lynch, and Comey. Aides ordinarily allowed entry as plus ones were barred. They were barred from attending these meetings. Gradually, the Post says, the circle widened to include Vice President Biden and others. Agendas sent to cabinet secretaries, including John F. Kerry in the State at the State Department and Ashton B. Carter at the Pentagon, arrived in envelopes that subordinates were not supposed to open. Sometimes the agendas were withheld until participants had taken their seats in the Situation Room. That's quoting from the nearly 8,000-word article from the Washington Post 2 years ago. Breitbart says this, adding another layer of secrecy. The newspaper reported that when the closed cabinet sessions on Russia began in the White House Situation Room in August, the video feed from the main room was cut off during the meetings. The feed, which allows only for video and not audio, is usually kept on so that senior aides can see when a meeting takes place. They cut the video feed as well. They didn't even want lower-level officials at the White House to know that a meeting was going on. They didn't want them to know who was in there. The Washington Post, this is going back to the article from 2 years ago, it reported the blacked out screens were seen as an ominous sign among lower level White House officials who were largely kept in the dark about the Russia deliberations, even as they were tasked with generating options for retaliation against Moscow. The same people who were supposedly tasked with the responsibility of retaliating against Moscow, they were kept in the dark. And, of course, the Trump campaign, it was kept in the dark as well. Nobody went to Donald Trump and said, hey, we feel like there might be some Russian meddling in the election process. And you better be careful because some of your low-level officials, they might be caught up in this web of deceit. None of that was revealed to Donald Trump or anyone in his campaign. They were all left in the dark And everything was handled by the very senior levels of these intel agencies, including at the White House. Conducted, directed from Barack Obama himself, the very one who, what was it, April 2016, who said, well, now as a policy, we never meddle in what the intelligence agencies are tasked with. We don't meddle in investigations. In the same interview that he said Hillary Clinton was innocent. Careless, but innocent. Oh, yes. It's all there, isn't it? Even before we see some declassified documents. Wait until those documents appear. Well, they're going to be fighting against Donald Trump. All of his enemies in the Democratic Party, all of his enemies in the deep state, all of his enemies in the media. To try to prevent the truth from being told. You listen to the way that those reporters asked him questions on Friday after he said, hey, I've declassified everything so that we can be completely transparent. And right away, you'll hear this reporter talk about, well, how can we trust Attorney General Barr? Forget about the documents that are all there at the DOJ and the FBI. They're on the attack, saying that Attorney General Barr, he's the problem. This next clip, you'll hear the reporter and then President Trump's response, clip four.
Mr. President, why should people trust the Attorney General to select what to declassify? Even Robert Mueller expressed concerns about the way Barr handled his findings.
The question is so false and so phony. The Attorney General, let me explain to you something. The Attorney General is one of the most respected people in this country, and he has been for a long period of time. He's going to look at a lot of documents. Some he might find interesting, maybe he'll find none interesting. But for over a year, people have asked me to declassify. So what I've done is I've declassified everything. He can look, and I hope he looks at the UK, and I hope he looks at Australia, and I hope he looks at Ukraine. I hope he looks at everything, because there was a hoax that was perpetrated on our country. It's the greatest hoax. Excuse me. It's the greatest hoax probably in the history of our country, and somebody has to get to the bottom of it. We'll see. But for a long period of time, they've wanted me to declassify, and I did.
You hear the reporter there. You think she's really interested in the truth? These same reporters that have been getting leaks from Clapper and Comey and Brennan. For years, they've been getting leaks. Anything to make President Trump look bad. They'll report it. They'll put it out there. Now everything else gets declassified. And here's this reporter interrupting the president, saying, how can we trust William Barr? Even Robert Mueller's expressed concerns about the way Barr handles the findings. Bob Mueller can do no wrong, I guess. Well, but in his report, he says there was no collusion. And there's the president saying that question is so false, it's so phony. It's part of the problem. Co-conspirators. There was a report recently, this is just from the other day, Issues and Insights. Obama's spying on the press was far more extensive than previously thought. Isn't that ironic? Here they are, just attacking Donald Trump, saying he's the one who's the threat to freedom of the press. And look at the one that actually attacked the press, that actually prosecuted reporters, that actually prosecuted leakers. When Barack Obama's in the White House, no leaking allowed. No leaking will be tolerated. It says here, the Columbia Journalism Review reports on the newly released government document showing that the Obama Justice Department engaged in a far more sweeping effort to spy on the Associated Press than previously believed. Well, we're learning more about the extent to which the Obama Justice Department spied on Americans. Spied on reporters. It says, in 2013, the Justice Department launched a brazen attack on press freedom. This is from the Columbia Journalism Review. This is not coming from the Trump administration. This is not coming from William Barr. A brazen attack on press freedom, issuing sweeping subpoenas for the phone records of the Associated Press and several of its reporters and editors as part of a leak investigation. It says, at the time, the subpoenas were widely seen as a massive intrusion into news gathering operations. Last month, we learned that they told only part of the story. And it goes and gives some of the background to the leaks and so on that were going on several years ago. Months later, it says, the AP learned that the DOJ had vacuumed up 2 months of phone records on 21 different lines trying to find the leaker. Can you imagine if the Trump DOJ did something like this? What those same reporters would be doing? As what? These were actually reporters for the AP, the Associated Press. It says the new report obtained by the Knight First Amendment Institute at Columbia University and the Freedom of the Press Foundation finds that the DOJ actually collected records on 30 phones. Initially, they thought it was 21 phones. In fact, 30 phones were tapped. The CJR goes on to say, disturbingly, the report does not come close to explaining why the subpoenas targeted the trunk lines of major AP offices, lines which could potentially reveal communications with confidential sources across all the AP's news gathering activities. Obama, they wanted to know. They needed to know the sources, the confidential sources. We've got to get to those leakers. And yet the media, they had no problem with this. They still don't have any problem with it today. Even as more facts emerge, what does this tell us about when these documents are declassified? Even when it tells them they've been caught red-handed, even when it shows them guilty, still they'll ignore it. Still, they'll attack Donald Trump. They'll attack Attorney General Barr. They'll say, how can you be trusted? This report says Obama repeatedly barred Fox reporters from events. At one point, it named Fox News reporter James Rosen as a co-conspirator in a leak case being pursued under the Espionage Act. Well, what about James Comey? Is he a co-conspirator? He leaked to the New York Times. No problem there. Transparency. We've got to have transparency. Obama's communications director said the White House treated Fox News the way he would treat an opponent. The administration also spent 7 years trying to force New York Times reporter James Risen to reveal his sources. We've talked about some of that history before. Risen wrote about it at the end of 2016, saying that he had come under attack from the Obama administration. They went after him. They tried to use the Espionage Act. Espionage, a relic of World War I era red baiting. If there's a law in the book that allows for the Obama administration to go after an enemy, a political enemy, they'll use it. What about the Logan Act? That's how they took out Mike Flynn. It says in 2013, Leonard Downey called Obama's efforts to control information the most aggressive I've seen since the Nixon administration. Further on, this report says, when not harassing reporters, Obama officials refused to cooperate with them, racking up the worst record for fulfilling FOIA, that's the Freedom of Information Act, for fulfilling FOIA requests of any previous administration. The worst record. This is the Obama administration. The article says here Obama even routinely banned news photographers from official events so he could keep an iron grip on his image. Oh, just like that image with, who was it? Forget the name of the black preacher that hates Jews. Louis Farrakhan. He's pictured there arm in arm with Louis Farrakhan. And nobody saw, that picture never saw the light of day until Obama was out of office. It just sat somewhere in a dark closet for 8 years. listen again to the exchanges from Friday. Listen to the reporters who are on the attack still. How can we trust the attorney general? And then here's another reporter who puts it back on Donald Trump. You're just out for revenge. Clip five.
What is this really about? Is it about getting payback for these 2 years?
This is about finding out what happened. I won an election. I won it easily, 306 to 223. I won it pretty easily. And I'll tell you what, this is all about what happened and when did it happen. Because this was an attempted takedown of the President of the United States. And we have to find out, why did somebody write a text message to two lovers that if she loses, we have an insurance policy to take down the president? We're going to find out what happened and why it happened.
Let me just tell you, it's not payback.
I don't care about payback.
So the reporter starts his question saying it's payback. And the president said it's about getting to the truth. And he finishes his answer and the reporter says, sounds to me like it's payback. This is a reporter who's supposedly asking questions. He's there asking questions. No, not really. He's there making statements. He's there editorializing. He's there giving his view. My view is that you're paying back your enemies. This is what passes for reportage today. That's what he's going against, this president, every single day. Cheryl Atkinson, she had a piece last week on the two different scenarios. Now that we know there's no collusion, well, then there's essentially two scenarios here. Either there's criminal intent. This was criminally motivated, this Russian investigation into the Trump campaign. Or you have a bunch of high-level officials that were incredibly incompetent. Well, we know it's the former and not the latter. These people knew what they were doing. Their fruits, look at their fruits over the past 10, 12 years. She says here, again, she's presenting this as a possibility. In fact, it happened. Atkinson says one possibility to be considered is that top Obama administration officials knew all along there never was any real collusion or crime at play, but they manufactured the false Russian premise in order to justify their political spying. Under this hypothetical scenario, Atkinson says, they wanted to get inside information on the Trump campaign and perhaps gather dirt against the competition for blackmail or political purposes. This effort included surveillance using paid spies and wiretaps on multiple Trump associates, as reported in the press. It's all in there. And we're going to find out very soon about why they did this. And then we'll learn that it's not the incompetence scenario. It's the criminality scenario. Greatest political scandal in the history of the United States. Atkinson says the Obama officials had lots of help from foreign players such as the United Kingdom and Russia's nemesis, Ukraine. She explains how Ukrainian-linked Democrats helped to bring down Paul Manafort. See, there's Russians, there's Ukrainians, there's Britons, there's Australians. They were working together with the Hillary Clinton campaign to bring down Donald Trump. Atkinson says, anyhow, under this scenario, after Trump defied all predictions and won the election, those who had conspired against him went into panic mode. They rightly worried that Trump, his national security advisor, Michael Flynn, and others outside the establishment would be able to see what Justice Department and intel officials had been up to in secret. They were worried that not only would their furtive activities in 2016 be exposed, but that their behavior during the past decade plus, when there were many other documented surveillance and intel abuses. See, we're now finding out that the Obama administration, they spied on American citizens, much more than we thought in the past. That's from that previous report I just gave to you. Akeson says these abuses include improper surveillance of American citizens, political figures, journalists, and other targets. There was all kinds of spying going on during the Obama years. Go through America Under Attack. That booklet was written in 2013. And you see everything you need to know about what's happening today. The media love affair with Obama, no matter what he did. Even if he tapped into 30 AP phones, spying on American citizens. It's all there in America Under Attack. The whole story, it's laid out there in detail. How much more are we going to learn about what was going on? Not just in 2016 and 17. What about 2009 and 10 and 11 and 12? These abuses include improper surveillance of American citizens, political figures, journalists, and other targets. That's right. Journalists, they were spying on congressmen, other targets, political opponents. They used the IRS to go after conservative groups. Oh, yes. And yet they have the audacity today to stand up there and say, not a whiff of scandal from 2008 to 2016. Not a whiff. It says, one can only imagine all the things they did that never became public. This is Cheryl Akeson. Whose communications did they pretend to capture accidentally? Think all the unmasking. That's another story here. Samantha Power, she worked for the UN. She was the U.S. ambassador to the UN, and she was unmasking. She was unmasking American citizens at a rate of one per day. American citizens that were caught up in surveillance. Well, you've got to leave the Americans masked if you're surveilling officials abroad. But that's not the way the Obama officials operated. They would unmask them right and left. And next thing you know, you hear about what Mike Flynn is doing with a Russian official, or Jeff Sessions, or Donald Trump. Leak after leak after leak. How is this leaking happening? Never mind that. Transparency. There's got to be transparency. We've got to be able to tell the truth. But it's illegal what you're doing. You're spying. No, we don't spy. We investigate, says Jim Comey. And so they argue over all of these terms. There was no spying going on. This is not a coup attempt. Look, we were seriously concerned about the Russians, which is why they never said anything about Russian interference until after they tied Donald Trump together with it. Then it's been the biggest story for the past 2.5 years because of their allies in the media. Akeson says, one can only imagine all the things they did that never became public. They spied on her. She's very familiar with Obama tactics. She understands a little bit about the deep state. They hacked into her computer. She's an American citizen. These are government officials, intelligence agents, hacking into Akeson's computer. How about that? One can only imagine all the things they did that never became public. Whose communications did they pretend to capture accidentally? Whose bank records, photos, emails, text messages, internet history, and keystrokes were monitored? What unverified or false evidence did Intel officials present to the secretive Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court to get wiretaps on political enemies? Who improperly unmasked whom, she says. This is all, in her mind, it's a hypothetical, but I think you get a pretty good idea of what she believes. Hypothetically, these government officials, this is under scenario one in her article, these government officials, desperate to keep their deeds in the dark, rushed to amplify the Trump-Russia collusion narrative, putting Trump under investigation, even if under false pretenses, would accomplish the goal of keeping him from poking around into their business and practices. Any attempts he'd make to find out what was going on inside his own Justice Department or intel agencies would automatically be declared obstruction. Obstruction. This is what they've been doing. She's exposing their playbook. This is exactly what they've been doing. No collusion. Yeah, but he obstructed. She says, however, they were sloppy. First, they were sloppy in the improper actions they undertook over a decade or more. They never imagined outsiders would ever really get a look at the evidence of their alleged wrongdoing. See, they thought, sure, Hillary would get elected and then continue with this. It says, then they became sloppier in their panic-stricken attempts to cover up after Trump got elected. As you can see, this scenario presumes a level of corruption. It certainly does. The other scenario, she says, could it be incompetence? Well, if so, then this has to be the most monumental case of poor judgment and incompetence in the history of U.S. intelligence. They're either stupid or they're attempting a coup. It's one of the two, because there's no collusion. There's no evidence. There never was any evidence. It was all made up, a hoax from the beginning. A hoax intended to bring down a president, to take down a president, an attempted coup. Here's what the president said about the other side on Friday, clip six.
What I don't think is right is you do a redo. They were very unhappy with the Mueller report. No collusion, no obstruction, no nothing. They're very unhappy. They're angry about it. They have to get over their anger. They have to get over... Wait a minute. They have to get over their anger, and they have to get into infrastructure, drug prices, and things like that, because they want to do a redo, like even the fact that they're asking Bob Mueller to come and testify. He just gave them a 434-page report, which says no collusion, which leads to absolutely no obstruction. He just gave that report. Why does he have to testify? It's ridiculous.
It's beyond ridiculous. All the evidence is there. The evidence of no collusion is there. And now the evidence of how the investigation got started, that's about to come out. They don't want that. They don't want those facts to see the light of day, because it exposes the coup attempt. It exposes the police state tactics. They're quite happy to live under a police state, as long as it's Barack Obama heading it up. They're quite happy with the Antiochus administration spying on Americans, spying on reporters, spying on American citizens, drone killing American citizens. That's okay. All of that's fine. They're not going to let this go. They're not going to show any contrition. You hear the exchanges in all of these cases. Excuse me, he says. Excuse me. Wait a minute. Let me tell you the truth here. The truth is there's no collusion. There's no obstruction. There's nothing. And they are angry. And so are you, he should have said. They're angry because they've been exposed. And these members of the press, they were active participants. They were co-conspirators in this coup attempt, this most vile and deceitful political scandal in American history. Listen to another example from Friday, clip seven.
Are you worried that these investigations are hurting your re-election chances?
I don't know. My poll numbers are very good. You don't like to report them, but my poll, I guess we have a 48 today. We have a 51. We have very good poll numbers considering. Now, I have to tell you, if you people would give straight news, I'd be at 70. I'd be maybe at 75. But you don't give straight news. You give fake news. With fake news, I'm still winning the election. But if you gave serious good news the way you're supposed to, I'd probably be at 70 or 75 based on the economy alone.
Another truth bomb. How high would his approval rating be if these were honest reporters? What was the question he asked? Are you worried that these investigations are hurting your reelection chances? How did these investigations get started? Who started the investigations? How did the Mueller investigation get going? Well, let's go back and look. Because now we can all agree that there's no collusion. That's in the 434-page report, right? There's no collusion. There's no obstruction. And you have Democrats and members of the media angry. Angry. They want a redo. Bob Mueller has to testify. It has to be public. The whole world needs to see it. Every last redaction, it needs to be removed. Even grand jury testimony, it needs to be fully revealed. Transparency. We're just seeking transparency. Okay, then. Well, we'll declassify all of the documents about how the investigation got started. No, don't do that. That's the work of an autocrat. That's the work of a tyrant. Listen to what Joe Scarborough, let's move ahead, Bradley, to clip 9.
Donald is obviously melting down. It must be those court rulings.
Yeah.
Those federal court rulings that are requiring that they turn over the documents to the House. But there's no doubt that he's every bit as unhinged as he was during the heat of the Mueller investigation. Nick Confessori, though, we've been talking about, Meek and I, about how this guy is an autocrat in training. We yesterday had Donald Trump talking about charging a former FBI director with treason, and when told that that could lead to his death and lead to these other FBI agents' death, executions, said yeah, and he just kept going. So this is what an autocrat does. He, even after the elections are over, he goes back and tries to punish those that he considers to be his political enemies. And if Donald Trump had his way, you just heard him, you know, they'd be executed.
Even after elections are over, says Scarborough, Donald Trump goes back and tries to punish. It's exactly what they've done. Even after the election, they won't accept it. Even after the Mueller report, they won't accept it. Now, they can say he's guilty of treason. John Brennan can say, Donald, these are the rules. You can say Donald Trump is treasonous. You can say he's committed treason, as all of them did following that meeting in Helsinki. He's a treasonous agent. He's a Russian agent. He's guilty of a conspiracy. He's crazy. He's Hitler. He's all those things. Listen to what else Scarborough said over the weekend, clip 8.
The president, of course, during the campaign, we've said it, people closest to him told us that they feared that he was in mental decline. People very close to him told us that they feared that he was in pre-dementia, that he had changed. You watch Donald Trump in the late 1980s, you watch him even in the 90s, you watch him now, he's completely changed. I've known Nancy Pelosi and been working with her since 1994.
I interviewed her this week.
Since 1994.
For 90 minutes.
So a quarter of a century I've known Nancy Pelosi. I can tell you Nancy Pelosi is tougher today.
Sharp as a tack.
Than she was 25 years ago. The difference between Nancy and Donald, not even close.
Not even close. He's not just crazy. He's in pre-dementia. Pre-dementia. And he's an autocrat. He's a dictator. He's a tyrant. He's calling them out. And they won't accept. They won't accept facts. So that's the kind of thing that you hear on those other stations. They won't accept the facts. You hear it from the reporters, the pool of reporters. How can we trust Attorney General Barr? Aren't you just trying to get revenge? How can you say this is not revenge of some kind? And on it goes. You know, it's interesting. One of our listeners from Texas said the Obama team realizes Hillary lost, then on their way out, connects with a CIA school in Rome, of all places, the Obama team, that is. They connect with this CIA school in Rome, basically sets up what can only be described as an abomination to our constitutional laws, and on top of that, pushes the UN to attack Jerusalem. You can't make this stuff up. Yeah, there's an Israel angle to this hoax as well. And we'll have to get into that more at a later time. But you look through some of these documents that have come out, some of the books that have been written, Papadopoulos' book, Deep State Target. And you go back to when these individuals were appointed, March 2016. That's when Trump put his foreign policy team together, including Papadopoulos and Carter Page. And as soon as he did that, they immediately started to attract the attention of a lot of shady characters. And that's what triggered all of this illegal spying on a political opponent. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, a special Memorial Day live presentation. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.